According to those people who claim to know, if you were to ask 100 people what they want most out of life, about 75 of them would say that they just want to be happy. And perhaps you are among that 75%. Maybe that's what you want most. You just want to be happy. And those same 100 people, if you were to ask them what it means to be happy, about 90% of them would mention something about people or places or things. Their answers might be all over the map. See if you find yourself in any of these examples. For instance, if I just had the right house, I would be happy. If it were decorated just perfectly, I would be happy. And some might say, I just want to be loved. I just want somebody to love me, cherish me, and appreciate me for who I am. That would make me happy. And some other people might say, well, I want to be financially stable. And by that I mean I want to have enough money that I can purchase anything I need. And maybe anything I want. And that would make me happy. And somebody else might say, well, I just want the right spouse, and I just want to have a good marriage, and I want to have healthy children and healthy grandchildren. Some might say, I would be happy if I could achieve fame and people would know my name, or I'd be happy if I could reach certain goals in my life, etc., etc. People, places, and things. Would those, any of those be your answer? Now, here is a fact. All of those things, as you know, are transitory. They do not last. They depend heavily upon life circumstances. They depend heavily upon other people. They depend heavily on what surrounds you in your life. And there's a high probability that you would wake up someday and those things would no longer be there, or you would find that none of them made you truly happy like you thought they would. And that could include everything in your closets and your attic and your basement and in that storage unit you maybe pay rent for. That could include all the trophies that you have on the shelf. It could include all the certificates of appreciation that have been given to you. It could include the degree or the degrees that you earned in college. You may have thought that the happiest day of your life was when your child was born or when your grandchild was born, only to be disappointed later in life when that child or that grandchild disappointed you or maybe even brought you grief or shame. Of all the things that we think can make us happy, it could be that none of them would actually make us happy. And it could be that, like many other people, you could be at this point in life finding yourself to be unhappy. Nagging question, why am I unhappy? I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have friends. I live in a free country. Why am I unhappy? It happens. It happens to more people than we realize. We all long for the secret of true happiness. It's kind of built into us. The kind of happiness that would withstand anything that comes our way. All the disappointments in life, oh, they're legions, aren't they? All the storms and the trials of life, anything that gets in our way. And we all want that happiness to last, not to be fleeting, but to be long-lasting. And we search for contentment. There's a very pregnant word, contentment. We want to be content. And the more we learn about it, the more we realize that it's not based on the exteriors of life. Happiness is an inside job. It begins and it ends in your heart. And we're in a series of a sermon series on words. Some words that I've chosen that I call great words. These are words that evoke emotions in us. And last week's word was friend. If you were here for last week, I really enjoyed that one. I really did. And I hope you enjoy this one as much. This word is happy. Happy and happiness are great words. But they can be like vapor, you know. You can grasp them, but you can't seem to hold on to it. To find true happiness, I want to take you on a trip to Greece. Have you ever been to Greece? It's a lovely place. Have you ever been to the Isle of Cyprus? It's a lovely island. Biblically, Cyprus was the home of Barnabas. And Cyprus was the first island that Paul and Barnabas visited on their first missionary journey. Did you know, at one time in history, the Greeks used to refer to the island of Cyprus as the Happy Isle? Did you know that? Why? The answer is because Cyprus was known to be a completely self-sufficient island. The people who lived there had everything they needed. They were content. They did not have to leave the island for anything because it was all there. And as a result, they were known as happy people. Now, the word in Greek that was used to describe the island of Cyprus is a very special word. It's Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. Makarios. It's a very interesting word, like a lot of Greek words. Why is it interesting? Because it carries multiple connotations. Many, many different thoughts go into it, such as feeling completely satisfied. Not just satisfied. Completely satisfied. And also feeling very secure. Wonderful, positive feelings. Good feelings, happy thoughts. But that wasn't all. The word Makarios also described a feeling of well-being all over. It is well with my soul. Because you're supplied sufficiently with everything you need, just like the happy people on the island of Cyprus. In other words, the Greek word Makarios is far more than just being happy. Happy is a great word. Makarios is a greater one. And in the English language, just like in many Greek words to English, we do not have one word that grasps all of the attributes of happiness that that word has. That's why it's very important for us to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ used that word. And he used it in one of his most famous teachings, the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, which begins, "Blessed, Makarios, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Of heaven." Now, most of our English translations use the word blessed or blessed, and some of them use the word happy. But those two words, blessed and happy, just cannot capture the full impact of the word Makarios. They can't reach the depth or the height of what Makarios means. And each and every one of the Beatitudes begins with that word, Makarios. Jesus was trying to speak to the people about a level of joy and contentment and peace that shine through you and me, regardless of the circumstances in life, the good things and the bad things. If we were to follow the Gospel of Matthew literally, then Jesus began his ministry with a command. Repent. And he followed it with an invitation. Follow me. But his first teaching, according to Matthew, was in the Sermon on the Mount about happiness. Blessed, happy, Makarios are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Sermon on the Mount. I've read this to you before, but I'm going to read it again because it's such a great quote. It's a quote from a psychiatrist. And his name is J.T. Fisher, and he said, if you were to take the sum total of all authoritative articles ever written by the most qualified of all psychologists and psychiatrists on the subject of mental hygiene, if you were to combine them and refine them and cleave out the excess verbiage, if you were to take the whole of the meat and none of the parsley, I love that. Take all the meat and none of the parsley. And if you were to have these unadulterated bits of scientific knowledge concisely expressed by the most capable of living poets, you would have an awkward and incomplete summation of the Sermon on the Mount. And it would suffer immeasurably through comparison. Here rests the blueprint for successful human life with optimum mental health and contentment. Here's the word, contentment. And what is the first word in the Sermon on the Mount? Makarios. Now that got everybody's attention when Jesus said it, because everyone desires and everyone needs Makarios in their life. And Jesus looked out across that sea of faces on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee that day, and he saw their sufferings. And he saw their anxieties. And he saw their fears. He saw their worries. And so the first thing he did, not the first word he said, the first thing he did was to sit down. Matthew 5:1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Why is that important? Well, you see, every time a rabbi would sit down, it was a proclamation that what he was about to say was important. It was a position of authority. It was in the synagogue, for instance, there was one seat, one chair called the David seat. And the rabbi would always sit in the David seat when he was ready to preach. I kind of like that. Maybe I should try that. He would sit down to preach rather than stand up. And everyone knew when he sat down, pay attention. Something important is about to be said here. Everyone understood it was a position of authority. And Jesus sat down and a hush came over those people. And they listened. What is he going to say with authority? And the first word he said was, Makarios. One biblical commentator put it really beautifully. He said that the word Makarios could be translated not with just one word, happy. He said it requires something more like this. Oh, the happiness and the joy and the bliss. A very pregnant word. And Jesus said that to the people. Oh, the happiness, the joy, the bliss. And then came the shocker of the poor in spirit. What? First of all, there are two Greek words for the word poor. One of them describes a person who just gets by. They don't have anything extra. It's like the person living from paycheck to paycheck, or maybe even week to week. Poverty. But that's not the word that Jesus used. The word he used is the Greek word for abject poverty. Having nothing. Nothing. People had to have been bewildered when he said that. At least they understood this. If somebody had nothing, they were forced to rely upon God. Maybe that's what Jesus means when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, before we go on, let's make sure we understand this. Jesus Christ would never say, blessed are those who have nothing. He would never say that one should live in the slums, one should live on the street, that one should be happy if they don't have enough clothes or food. He would never say, blessed are those who suffer, blessed are those who are in poor health, blessed are those who are rotting in squalor. In fact, those are exactly the conditions that Jesus Christ calls for us to address. And when we ignore that, we will stand someday in our final judgment, and it says in the Bible, he will condemn us for our gross sin of omission. But in this beatitude, when Jesus said poor, he was not talking about material poverty. He said, Makarios are those who are poor in spirit. Now, what did that mean? Here's the answer. It meant all the happiness and the joy and the bliss of those who are humble, not prideful, not conceited, but those who are teachable. His opening headline was that true happiness comes from being humble and teachable. Now, if you had been one of those 100 people at the beginning of this message who were asked the question, what do you want most out of life? Would you say, the thing I want most out of life is to be humble and teachable? I don't think so. I don't think so. Humility. Humility is not something that... Humility is not a great word in some ways. And in other ways it is. Humility is not thinking that you are a nobody. It's thinking that you are a person who really needs God. That's humility. And that kind of humility opens your heart and it opens your life to the miracle working grace of Jesus Christ. That is what allows you to cry out to God for help. That is the source of ultimate happiness. And that's a divine irony, isn't it? There are, of course, a lot of people who have the opposite characteristic. They're the people who are filled with pride. In Jesus' day, the epitome of that would probably be the Pharisee. The Pharisee was very pride-filled. Is that a word, pride-filled? It is now. He was very filled with pride. He felt he was spiritually above everybody else, and he was sufficient unto himself. And Jesus said, No. It's really like this. Happy are you when you admit how much you need me, he said. One southern pastor put it this way. Happiness is the freedom to holler, "Help, Lord." I like that. That's how I grew up. In North Carolina, I heard that kind of talk every Lord's Day. "Help, Lord." Help is a multiple syllable word in North Carolina. Oh yes, let us not forget the rest of this teaching in the Beatitude. He said, "Makarios are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I read a good parable about the kingdom of heaven. It goes like this. A great physician discovered a cure for a fatal disease. And as a result, he became insanely wealthy. As he was entering the final stages of his own life, he decided that he wanted to give away his wealth and to try to help other people. And he could think of no better place to begin than to go into the slums of his city and seek out the homeless. And so he walked around and he found a man who was sleeping on a makeshift bed on the concrete. And he said to him, "Take this card. Take it to the bank. The teller will know what to do with it. He will open an account for you for $100 million. Well, the homeless man looked up at him and he thought, this guy has to be absolutely crazy. So he took the card, he threw it on the ground, he spit on the doctor, and he rolled back over. So the doctor decided to move on. And the second homeless person he came upon was an old woman. She took the card, but she got distracted with her life, and she lost the card. And she never even tried to find the doctor again to get a replacement. So the doctor moved on. The third person he came upon, they gave the card to, took the card, put it in his pocket, but never took it to the bank. And he would see his friends, and he would take the card out of his pocket, and he would show it to his friends and say, "Look, I'm rich, I'm rich." And they would look at him like, yeah, right. I didn't believe him. Because he continued to live in poverty. So the doctor moved on. And the final recipient that he came upon was a woman who was dying. She also had a terminal illness. She was extremely skeptical, but she took the card and she took it to the bank. And she showed it to the teller and she asked the teller for $100. And the teller recognized the card. He knew what it was, and he started laughing. And he said, all you want is $100? That's all you need? He said, you'll make that much in interest in the time it would take me to take out the $100 for you. And well, that encouraged her. And so she said, okay then, well, give me $5,000. So he said, okay. So he gave her $5,000. And she rented an apartment. And she bought herself some food and some clothes. And she took a bath. And then she went to the doctor for treatment for her terminal disease. And the doctor healed her of her disease. And he taught her how to stay healthy and how to be whole. She learned to live the life of a person who had everything she needed, and then she began to help other people the best she could. And that is a parable of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We have everything we need for our spiritual health here on earth. And we are allowed to draw from it any time We need it every day. And then we have the privilege of helping other people. I want to close with an anonymous poem. Jesus went up on the mount that day to begin his ministry. He gazed across the fertile ground to see what he could see. He looked upon countless places and saw the pain on a thousand faces. He also looked across eternity, and there he saw you and me. With words, he shared God's grace that day, saying, "Happiness can be found in no other way. The path is found in humility. When you know your own poverty, not poor in the way that the world defines, but humble in spirit before God," he chimed. "When in life you have found this key, then you have found eternity. So, when you think your life's a mess, remember that Jesus brings true happiness." Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord, I hope you help me and us to look at our lives differently through different filters when we think about this truth. Makarios is ours when we humble ourselves before you and before the world, and when we admit that we are in poverty spiritually, but we are wealthy because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.